1, 2, 3, 4. Right, you can press record now. If it works, it works. Episode 39 of Consistently Above Averages here. Friday the 18th of July, as I just turn everything around just a little bit here. My producer, cameraman, €150 an hour, so you can guarantee this podcast will be short. We have a very important birthday on today's show. Friday the 18th of July. I know it's probably in the top of your head, you know already, and you're thinking fair play to him for talking about it on this podcast. Two pretty important dates, two pretty important birthdays in the world. One is a guy who's an incredibly historic figure in the world history, a date often used as an anti-racism date celebrated around the world because of the uniting effect this person has had around the world over his years on this planet, a light of hope for millions of people around the world, who has highlighted the benefits of friendship, unity, loyalty to those who support your efforts massively, an enigmatic, charismatic type of person that you would follow into battle at the drop of a hat. Happy 58th birthday to Vin Diesel from the Fast and the Furious series. It's also Nelson Mandela's birthday. He would have been 107 tomorrow, who's done a couple of cool stuff as well. But Vin Diesel, can you imagine that? 57 years old, 58 years old, still looking as good as ever, still driving cars, I'm sure. What do you reckon he's going to do to celebrate it? It is a little bit mad when you think about it. But later on today, if you're listening to this on Friday the 18th of July, that is, later on today, I'm expecting the Consistently Above Average t-shirts. Are you zooming in on that, my cameraman? The Consistently Above Average t-shirts are going to arrive. I am very excited. I'm excited now because they'll be here today. I'm not excited of the weekend ahead of packaging them. Of so many of them that need to be packaged. There is also a certain amount of Dublin deliveries that me and my cameraman, producer, are considering driving up and delivering ourselves. Maybe I've spoiled that surprise, but I would have to contact these people beforehand to make sure that it's okay. But a hand-delivered t-shirt in one hand, a can of Pepsi Max in another, and on a weekend, this weekend, from Andrew McGahan, could be an option. There is a lot going on this weekend, which we are going to talk about, so it might be easier to stick them in the post. So don't get your hopes up, but we'll see how the weekend is looking and how many we actually have to do. We're going to put them into an app, figure out which is the quickest one to go to and how long it would actually take, so on and so forth. And it's brilliant. So there will probably be a handful of these knocking about by this time next week. And I will mention that and talk about it in the podcast if people do want to grab one. But once again, thank you very much to anyone who did purchase a shirt, either in butter or faded coal. To the people who purchased both butter and faded coal, thank you very much as well. It's greatly appreciated. The good news is that because of the sales, because of the success of the sales, during the week when everything is posted and paid for postage-wise and stuff like that, so I know what I'm left with, I'm going to be booking flights to New York in October. I'm going to go compete in the Nogi Pan American Championships, which was announced the other day. And if there is enough left, I'm going to try and get maybe my flights for the Nogi Europeans covered, which is at the end of October as well, which will be great. Then the plan is hit the credit union sometime in September or October for a secured loan, get to the Nogi Worlds in December in Vegas. That was announced for the 11th to the 13th of December of this year. Long-term listeners of the show will be absolutely beside themselves, delighted to know that Cowboy Christmas, the greatest event in Las Vegas history, Cowboy Christmas, all of the hillbillies will be back in Las Vegas from the 4th until the 13th of December, which means we will get to go to Cowboy Christmas again. Myself, John Luca, anybody else that's coming over from Ireland, we're going to Cowboy Christmas in the National Convention Centre. We're going to go see how dwarfed the sport of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is in comparison to a real sport, rodeo, and we're going to enjoy Las Vegas again. If all the stars align, hands, shoulders, knees and toes crossed at this moment in time, the UFC are going to have a pay-per-view as well in December. Wouldn't it be just great? First time in 7 years, Andrew McGahan at a UFC event in Las Vegas. What a weekend that would be. So I have decided to not pay my cameraman producer for the hour. He's actually gone now after 5 minutes of recording Instagram reel clips. Anything you'd like to add, voiceless producer, before you leave? What does that mean? Chat, what does it mean when a person holds up two fingers to you when they're leaving a room? I don't know. Are you leaving now? We are back live recording now. So I'll ring you tomorrow. Take that can of Coke with you. I wouldn't be caught drinking that stuff. Dead. I'm here with my water. Stop dragging it along the table as well. And don't scare the cats when you're leaving, because I have to feed them before bed. See you later. As we move on, thank you very much. The internet has been relatively quiet this week, but anything that has happened has been swept away by another event that is happening, really showing how shot everyone's attention spans well and truly are. If you're able to make it to the end of this 30-minute podcast, then you should applaud yourself. It is an absolutely fantastic achievement. I've gone down the rabbit hole completely this week. I'm invested massively in the relationship of Andy Byron and Kristen Cabot from the company called Astronomer. Now, his LinkedIn has been found and commented on loads. His wife's public Facebook post section is awash with people who just wanted to let her know if she knew. I think she does. I think it's fair to say that she does. If you have not seen this clip yet, these two people were at a Coldplay concert. They were put up on the big screen. They were obviously not meant to be there together. And one of the most hilarious reactions you'll ever see. Like, these sort of stuff, there's compilations and virality and stuff like this in sports in America, kiss cams and couples together and all of this sort of stuff. These are two people who were in a loving embrace, probably during Coldplay's Sky Full of Stars, something like that, set the scene. You're looking at it thinking this is absolutely beautiful, until they realize they're on the big screen. She panics, he tries to hide, and then Chris Martin makes a joke about how, oh, I guess they're having an affair or something. Well, Chris Martin, it didn't really take a genius to put two and two together there. However, it seems like you may have been correct. Now, it is like a morbid curiosity that you can't help but stop watching what is happening here. This is like a car crash ad from the television that you can't look away from. A video where you know something bad is going to happen, but you can't stop watching it. And it's not to belittle car crash advertisements, as Samantha Mumba built a very successful career through having her song Body to Body being used in car crash ads on Irish television many, many years ago. But the good thing about this is that there are now side characters involved in this love plot as well. The girl who is at the end of the clip, smiling, realizing that they've been rumbled, is also in the same company. Hired by Kirsten earlier on this year, her name is Alyssa Stoddard, who's the Vice President of People. There you go, the Vice President of People. Imagine having a job title like that, a job that easy, that handy. What do you do in the company? I'm the Vice President of People. Kirsten is the Chief People Officer. So there's no point. By the time they had woken up, the internet had already taken a hold of this. You can't erase it. It's there already. All of this was going on. They deleted a load of posts talking about how the other person got certain jobs. Andy, the CEO of the company, had put up LinkedIn posts talking about how great of a hire that Kristen was to the company and how important she was and how delighted he was. Loads of pictures of them together. Then Kirsten's post about Alyssa, delighted about joining the company and stuff like that. They've turned off the comments on LinkedIn. They've turned off all their comments on socials. The company has now turned off all the comments as well. Andy's wife allegedly has now changed her Facebook name back to her unmarried name, and all comments are open. Not to be cynical, if I was a divorce expert, I would have advised her to do that as well. McGahan Legal Holdings would have said, listen, you need to make it public. Allow the internet to do their thing here. This will be great in court. When it shows unnecessary stress and targeting and harassment that you're getting as an innocent party due to your husband's infidelity and life choices, the attention that was brought to this woman through no fault of her own, all she was doing was being a good wife, minding the kids, blah, blah, blah. And as the comments have now caused issues in her personal life, we're going to need a greater damaging and settlement and blah, 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 blah. So it does bring me to think of a slightly wider issue. How many people in the world were caught cheating or not caught cheating on the same day? when Andy and Kirsten were just trying to enjoy a Coldplay gig. The only crime, what's the crime they committed? Enjoying a Coldplay gig and being in love. That's all. How many people in the world made that same decision that day? Probably a fair amount, to be honest. It's just absolutely crazy, batshit mental that the same things that are happening all around the world at every minute of the day can have such a varying degree of consequences depending where you happen to be at that time, who happens to be recording it, and like add in the small little minor effect of is a multi-millionaire lead vocalist of one of the biggest bands in the world highlighting the fact that you may be having an affair. That might have been the thing that just tipped it over the edge a little bit. And like, can we just also put a pin in this and kind of say that for the sake of absolute clarity, I think it's 1000% true. This clip would not have gone viral in the slightest only for the fact that they reacted like that. If you had a galaxy brain, if you were ahead of schedule and you knew how to react in situations like this, you wouldn't have reacted. You probably would have leant in, kissed her on the cheek, acted like nothing happened. Plenty of other people were on those screens during that gig, and we're not talking about them afterwards. We're not talking about how their companies had to turn off comments on LinkedIn. We're not talking about any of this. They panicked and they reacted like two people who are stung, and now this is happening. Life's falling apart and it's absolutely mental just because a camera operator thought, that's a nice wholesome thing, I'm going to put them up on the screen. And then bang. Tell you, there's still more in this story. I have a feeling. I have done a little bit of research about the company. Not a publicly traded stock, but I'd be getting ready to buy the dip if they were, I tell you that much. Astronomer or whatever, they're going to have a big week. And speaking of big weeks, we had a nice little trip. We were over at that kids' tournament in Wolverhampton last week. Had a lovely Indian, I have to say, delivered to the Airbnb from Uber Eats on the Friday night. Myself, Cormac and Oscar. Oscar won one match, lost two. It's a kids' tournament. It is a big deal for them and stuff like that. It's one tournament in a long list of tournaments that he's going to do. I do think that he competed quite well and has a lot more potential ahead of himself, regardless of anything. But watching the standard of some of the kids, the green and the orange belts in particular, was like insane. Like the fact that at that age they're like made of rubber and they're able to survive and train a lot longer. On Wednesday, I had a particularly heavy day's training and I woke up today, like Thursday, unable to train. I was like, oh no, I'm in bits here. I won't spar again until Friday. When you're listening to this, I'll be training again, but just an absolute agony watching some of these kids that could be dropped from a building that hop up and then just start rolling again. Very, very jealous of that. Standard was great to watch. Had Popeye's chicken in the airport on the way home. Our flight was delayed by over 3 hours. We're now apparently entitled to €250 each of compensation for that. Need to fill out those forms. Flight was only €35 return. So happy days all around. Made money by going to Birmingham, if anything else. But we also talked last week on the podcast about the amount of tournaments that were happening on a particular weekend in September. Now, I can reveal to you, you may have seen it on social media during the week, off the back of last week's incredibly successful episode, within a few hours of publishing it, one of the tournaments came out and said that they were moving their date. I'm pretty sure they were planning that already. I didn't have any forward planning or no knowledge of that. But they was probably just a coincidence, but solid ground. The people who had their date announced since last October have now changed their date. It'll be announced sometime this week and it'll be in October. That tournament is going to be in Belfast, and I'm going to try and push hard for people from RGM to try and attend that, because hopefully there'll be nothing else on the same weekend and then we can just all go to that tournament. A lot of people will get to compete and then they'll get to do the other tournaments around at either side as well. So fair play, solid ground, appreciate that happening. And I know that I've gotten quite a few messages from people who are confused about why the tournaments are happening like that way. And a point that somebody made to me which I thought was quite good, I am paraphrasing, is that they're not, some of these people that are organizing the tournaments may not even care about like affecting their own finances. Maybe they're just thinking like, well, we don't want the other person to have a good tournament and don't want them to gain any head steam, do you know what I mean? Or get a head start in the community or stuff like that, which could be the case. But I just think like, I didn't even get on to the fact of referees last week. Do you know what I mean? Like, it can be bad enough, hard enough for one event to get like a good solid team of referees at it, let alone four events happening over the course of one weekend. So this weekend, there's a tournament on called Grapple City. We talked about them last week. They're on in Newry. I have been given conflicting information on who is actually running the tournaments. I did say I think it was Irish people last week. Then someone said it's an English company because they're also doing tournaments in England. So I'm not too sure. Now, while I've had my issues with the like of Grappling Industries and Empire in the past, what I think is happening with this tournament in Newry is that, we'll just call a spade here, I think that they saw that Newry has gotten quite a lot of tournaments in the past and good numbers in the past, and they thought, we'll just put one on in Newry then. So there's going to be a load of people that'll come to it. And I don't think that like me or other people should be like consulted about that, because you can put a tournament on wherever you want. But generally speaking, if I were to run a tournament in an area that I'm not from, that I don't have an influence in, I would be contacting the local gyms months in advance and saying, hey, my name's Andrew. I'm organizing this tournament. I'm going to be putting on a tournament in your city. Would love to have as many of your competitors competing as possible. Would love a bit of feedback on what you guys would like to see on the day. If you've got any students who don't want to compete, who'd like to work at the event, we would absolutely love to have them there. We're going to be here on this date. We're going to have early registration up until this point. From this point on, it'll be a little bit later. Maybe something even in saying like, if you guys register, for every 20 people who register, we can give 2 free. Something like that could be a good initiative to work with the local gyms. As far as I'm aware, we've had 0 contact regarding this tournament. I think like 40 something people from Team Tara's have signed up. There are multiple Team Tara's gyms. I don't think a lot of those ended up getting matches for whatever reason. We've had like a master 3 guy have to move down to adult just to get matches for his first tournament. We'll see how that goes. But it has just made me think over the last while. I did mention it in the gym this week when I got a message, not from the organizers, but through somebody else to try and contact me, which I just thought was strange as well in itself, about if people who want to work at it. I mentioned it in the gym. If anyone ends up working, then they'll be working at it. I said, contact the page, whatever. But it did make me realize that maybe just off the back of actually pulling the finger out in regards to doing these t-shirts, seeing them go down so well, the podcast gaining a little bit of steam and momentum and more people tuning in every week than ever before, maybe, just maybe, the long-awaited Cúchulainn Cup might have to make its debut sometime in 2026 to add to the ever-growing pool of competitions. We're on a coin toss between the Cúchulainn Cup or the Dundalk International Open. I really think the Dundalk International Open rolls off the tongue. I think it's just hilarious that like a town would have like an International Open name attached to it. There's something very funny about that. But Cúchulainn is also one of our greatest. Well, the St. Bridget Cup would also be a good one as well. St. Bridget Cup mightn't be a bad shout at all, actually. But look, don't be shocked if you see your boy, if you see me announcing a Dundalk International Open, having to announce it on a podcast before I actually do any planning to it, so that I have to hold myself accountable to judgment of the internet. But genuinely, like, if I can be honest about it, regardless of the stress, regardless of the hassle, there's a couple of funny things that I think would be good that I would love to do running a tournament that still make it a professionally ran, high quality tournament that focuses on the athletes getting the most out of it. But from a podcast perspective, how could you turn it into content in the weeks after the tournament has already happened? For the longest time, I have wanted to do a tournament. I can remember after the Nogi Europeans years ago, absolutely embarrassing myself, likely under the influence, being like, me and a lot of people have been talking and we're going to do a non-profit Irish Open because too many people are making too much money and we're all over here at the Nogi Europeans, blah, 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 and we need to get paid for. And my thoughts on that are still relatively strong, but I also think at the same time, like, just get a job. Like, I know so many young athletes now that are working, and I was working at the time anyway, but like, who are working at weekends, who are working two jobs, working in pubs, working in nightclubs, restaurants, washing dishes, all of this sort of stuff. And it kind of links into what I said about the sponsorship opportunity stuff that we talked about last week. Oh, you have the opportunity to give me money. That's what sponsorship opportunity means. You have the opportunity to give me money. Like, get a job, go work at the weekends, pay for your tournaments yourself. Nothing is going to be handed to you easy in this life, so you might as well just get used to it now and get used to doing something you don't like doing until you can monetize your skills of jiu-jitsu to be able to afford doing that. Or just do what I'm doing. Make a podcast and launch a t-shirt 9 months later, and then that can send you to the tournament. Do you know? That's, and I'm buzzing, and then people get something out of that as well. Absolutely delighted. I am also considering buying a burner phone as well. New number. Putting WhatsApp on it. I famously don't use WhatsApp, much to the confusion of many people that I know. And open it up for texts and voice notes from within the community, and doing a little segment on the podcast every week where we get corrections and interactions from the community over stuff that I may have said the week before that was wrong. We've been contacted by fan of the podcast, Chris Letty, with a correction from last week's episode. I am going to old school hold the phone up to the microphone here and play this for you right now.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Just in the car here, had the latest podcast on. Fucking whoa, 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 whoa. Tom Dargle, owner of the nationwide...
Should have bleeped out that curse.
Quite famous Dargle Bridge and Roll. Whoa, 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 whoa. You want to get that fact checked, McGann? So the Dargle River is the river that runs through Bray. And right near my gym, there is a bridge that crosses that...
My gym, dear.
Known sometimes as the Fran O'Toole Bridge, who I believe... was a member of a popular Bray-based show band a long time ago who may or may not have passed away. The Dargle Bridge is Chris Letty's iteration of the famous bridge and roll from Bottom Side Control. Arguably one of the reasons why I've had two back surgeries. I have taken out many... S-tier Irish competitor in my days with that technique. Dargle Bridge and Roll. You should have... I suppose the pun would have been lost on you. But you should have... If you hadn't known that that was the name of the river, the quality of the pun, the quality of the naming the technique probably should have went, that's a Chris Letty technique. I'd appreciate a revision in the next episode, please. Thank you.
There you go. Revision delivered. The Dargle Bridge and Roll actually belonged to Chris Letty. Massive apologies on my behalf for that. But we did get chatting further on from that point. And didn't want to bring it up last week because I thought, I can't just drop this in. And we're only going to touch on it this week. We'll have a bigger, expansive discussion about this next week. All going to plan. It is a rule that you're not meant to break in broadcasting. It looks like the next guest on Consistently Above Average, known as your favorite coach's favorite coach, brother of Dr. Adam Letty, Chris Letty, will be joining me in the hot seat of Consistently Above Average next week. We are, both of our production teams and management are thrashing out a deal at the moment. We may be in a studio somewhere in Dublin. That's what I'm hoping for. We may be sitting in the back of a converted van somewhere in Bray with a mobile podcast setup. But I think for a guest of, for a talker and a guest of this man's caliber, it'd be worth ringing up a few old friends in Dublin, a few old contacts, getting into a podcast studio, doing another sit-down episode. We'll talk shop with Chris. And the reason why, aside from him having a great story and just after his second back surgery that he's recovering from at the moment, a lot of work that he's done with David Gray, and now working with David Gray and stuff like that, not the owner of the famous song Late Night Radio, but David Gray Rehab on Instagram. From our discussion, I'm just going to Google this now very quickly because the end of this episode was kind of like a bit of a freewheeler. And Chris had mentioned to me while listening to the podcast and remembering all of the stuff on boards.ie that we talked about last week with the Irish Open. Boards.ie is apparently shutting down, but it is in serious financial trouble and may close soon if subscriber numbers don't improve. Recently stated that due to Google's 2025 algorithm change, site traffic and therefore ad revenue dropped by about 50%, pushing the firm into an unsustainable financial position. They've launched an ad-free membership subscription price at a €5 a month or €50 annually, aiming to secure at least 2,000 paying members in the next few weeks to keep the site running. Their warning is direct. If revenue doesn't improve, they'll be forced to shut boards.ie in the months ahead. Now, I don't know if that means that they're going to lose the archive of boards.ie, which is an amazing back archive. Like Reddit is the new thing, but boards.ie has been around for so, so long. I can remember wishing my dad happy birthday on boards.ie in a forum that he used to use, because we both used boards.ie back in the day when message boards took over the world. However, what Chris was talking about in regards to it is a little bit of lore that many new Irish Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu practitioners, fans, friends, colleagues, and otherwise may not be fully aware of. We are going to talk about it a little bit more next week, but in June of 2011, a very fresh-faced young Chris Letty went off to the World Championships and got a bronze at White Belt Adult. This is an absolutely brilliant thread on boards.ie, racking in at over 8 pages long with various members of the community offering their congratulations to Chris on such an achievement. However, all, what's the quote? All is not well in the state of Denmark. Something is rotten in the state of Denmark, from Shakespeare's Hamlet. Well, something was rotten in the state of San Diego, of California. I tell you that much. As we found out, well, it wasn't like that it was a secret, Chris Letty had been awarded a blue belt from Chris Brennan of Next Generation, had competed wearing a Taekwondo blue belt in Ireland before because he'd been awarded a blue belt by Chris Brennan. But when he went out to Saulo Ribeiro's gym as a no-gi blue belt and was training out there, wasn't accepted in their system, so he was told you're a white belt. He had barely trained in the gi, had very little training in the gi. Saulo and Dara, who's his coach at the time, still is. Dara's a purple belt. Saulo, one of the best black belts ever. Saulo was like, yeah, you're a white belt. And then all hell broke loose. So as Chris said, really need to have me on for this piece of history, is that the belt should have been upheld if it was in fact a legit belt. But the argument is more around that some impressionable young lad was given a blue t-shirt from an American fella that he had never met before, and that should be honoured over the opinion of his actual coach at the time and his coach's coach, which is a very, you'd be caught between a rock and a hard place. Some great commenters in this thread as well. My own username doxed to the world, SD Timeout, in their commenting on boards.ie along the best of them 14 years ago. But That was a huge thing in the community at the time. And we are going to run down memory lane with Chris Letty next week to discuss not only that, but a host of other issues. Him as a coach and as a competitor and the different things that he has seen over the last couple of years in the sport of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So I'm going to have to get my research cap on. Hopefully those that enjoy guest episodes will be happy with that. Shorter episode this week. Sorry for bringing you down the long run as well with the Vin Diesel thing as well. I just thought when I seen it was going to be his birthday, I thought that'd be quite funny to pretend that it was going to be a big deal, especially compared to like Nelson Mandela's birthday, which is obviously the bigger deal. But anyway, t-shirts arriving later on. People are going to have them from tonight, from tomorrow, from Sunday, then all in the post on Monday. And I can't wait to see all of your lovely pictures wearing your consistently above average t-shirts. There will be a couple knocking about in the next week for sale as well. But once they are gone, they are well and truly gone. Thank you for tuning in. Send it to a training partner. Send it to a friend. Send it to someone who might like to hear that information about the Coldplay concert with the two people whose names I've already forgotten, despite Andy Byron and Kirsten what? Nah, don't know. Andy and Kirsten. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. Chat to you next week. Have a great weekend. Good luck.